So cool. Love it. You know, my boys have been working through that program too, and they were here last night and got to receive their certificates. But it's been amazing to watch how much work they actually have had to do. It was a lot of work, and there was a lot of times we had to sign stuff off on their list because there was a lot of stuff going on. But really neat to see that going on. This weekend is a very special weekend in that we're celebrating our community in a special way. And it was actually cool. This morning I met some folks who used to come to our church like 30 years ago, the Hutchinsons, right? Am I saying that right? Where are you guys at? Can I get you guys just to stand up for a second? Welcome. They're in Summerland. They brought greetings from the Summerland Alliance Church and Pastor Rick Gay there. So we just want to welcome you guys here this morning. Thanks so much for joining us. So, you know, community is a great thing, and I love that we have sort of our broader church community, and even as we've moved on and people have moved to different places, we can still feel like church family and come back together and still love each other and just show the kind of community that we have together. And like I said, this weekend we're celebrating our community in a special way, because this weekend we're celebrating Pastor Dave Peters' retirement as our pastor of care. And Dave Peters is a guy who, I believe, gets community and gets the community of God. He understands what it means. He understands what it takes to actually build that community. He's a man who pours his heart and soul and passion into other people, caring for their needs, blessing them, taking care of whatever need they have, whether it's a physical need, going and just helping out with that, whether it's a spiritual need and just giving counsel and prayer. Dave, you are an amazing man for the way that you build our church community. And I just want to thank you for that publicly from up here, and just be able to celebrate you this weekend, because you are such a blessing and a mentor to me, and I want to say thanks for that. You know, it's not an easy thing as a senior pastor to say to another pastor, just go out, I'm not going to worry at all about the conversations you have, and you just go out and bless people and take care of them, okay? Because in conversations that happen in different places, things can go a little sideways. But I have never had a concern with Dave. I have a total trust in him, and he has always proven to be faithful. And I've so appreciated being able to serve with him and the ministry he has done within our church body. It's appropriate, I think, today that we're celebrating Dave Peters, and because we're talking today about community and the community of God and what it means to be the community of God. And I'm sure you could think of times in which the community of God and the fellowship that we have as part of the church, the body of Christ, you can probably think of times when that has been a blessing to you if you've been in the church for any length of time. Times when the community has come around you, going through maybe a time of need or a time of maybe struggle with work or with family or with your, I don't know, finances or with your spiritual life, other things, and the body just comes around you and cares for you, whether it's in a life group, or whether it's in the bigger body, or whether it's just a one-on-one conversation. I know there's been many times in our life where I've felt just the blessing of church community. One of the times actually was, you know, when we were actually traveling, and we were in Ukraine, and being in a foreign country, and we talked about this last week, not knowing the language, right, and having to work really hard to decode anything we could read even, not being able to hear English much at all, we found our way into a little church in Kiev, which was an international church there, ICA Kiev. And I can't tell you how much of a blessing it was to come together with the people of God and feel like you were home. Thousands of miles from home, but we were home, right? And it's just an amazing thing that we actually have, an incredible blessing we have as the body of Christ, that when we come together as his people, we are home. So I'm sure that you could probably think of a time when you've experienced the blessing of community. But I wonder if there are also times when you could think of the challenge that comes with being the community of God and the cost that it takes to actually build and maintain what we are as the church. Now, I should back up just for a second. I want to give a little disclaimer this morning. I'm making a bit of an assumption here that we're all, you know, part of, you know, the body of Christ, the church, but I don't want to make that assumption. So if you're just visiting here this morning, if you haven't, you know, made a decision to follow Jesus with your life, if you haven't received his forgiveness for your sins, you're just kind of hanging out because someone either dragged you here or you just kind of wandered in the door or whatever, this isn't really for you this morning, so you can just listen in. It's all good. And you get to hear all the hard stuff the Christians get to do, okay? Because they actually have a lot of work. But there's also great blessing that comes with it. But you can just you can just eavesdrop if you want, but for the church, I'm talking to you guys today. Okay, this is really for us as Christians. Because we're talking all about what it means and what it takes to be the body of Christ. Last couple of weeks, we've talked about an incredible event, an event that was this life-changing event in history. The coming of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. Jesus had died, he had been brought back to life, he had ascended up to the Father in heaven, and the early church was waiting. Remember, they were waiting in that upper room, and they were just waiting for the coming of the Spirit, praying and just waiting and faithfully obeying what Christ had asked them to do. And then the Spirit came on them like these little flames of fire that descended on their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in different languages, and people who were listening thought they were drunk because it all sounded so weird, like this gibberish that was going on, but they could all understand what they were saying in their own language. It was incredible, this incredible moment. And in that time, Peter stood up, and we talked about this last week, how he preached this incredible message, and he preached it in a way that they could all understand. He spoke to them in language they could get. And out of that, there was an incredible transformation that took place. And the church, if we could call it that at that point, went from being 120 people to 3,120. Now, I just want to stop here and just picture this, okay? Because I'm guessing, you know, getting closer to summer, so we're probably about 120 people this morning, okay? So let's just imagine we're here today meeting, and Dave gets up and preaches just a killer sermon. Like, I nail it, right? Like, it's just, and everyone's going, yeah, right? Okay, let's pretend that could happen, okay? Hypothetical. And people all around the neighborhood were hearing it. And suddenly, our church went from this to needing 11 services. Okay? In 1 week. That would be crazy. I don't know how I just... Okay, hold on a second. 11, sir. Oh, okay, that's going to be tiring. We're going to need a bigger building for that. Because we might fit about 300 in here, so that's going to be tough. Anyways, going from 120 to 3,120 in a day. Suddenly, they went from knowing everyone's name, feeling really, really close to everyone, to knowing or having a whole bunch of other people who were all suddenly a part of what was now a really big community. And it introduced for them a whole bunch of blessing that came with this kind of community, but also a whole lot of challenge. And the thing we're going to see today, as we look through some of the texts in the book of Acts, which records for us the history of the early church, both some of the great things that were part of community, but also some of the incredible challenges, because community is very, very good in the community of God. But it is not easy. It is not easy. It requires a lot of us. In much of the rest of the New Testament, as you read from the book of Acts, which is, you know, like two-thirds to three-quarters of the way through the Bible, as you read the rest of it going forward from there, it really records a lot of the blessing and the challenges that the early church faced. And so we're going to take some time this morning to read through a couple texts in Acts, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 5. And we're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, right, of the church. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Right on. We are going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of what it means to be the church community, what it means to be the community of Jesus Christ. But before we open up the Word today, let's just take a moment and pray and ask God to speak to us as we read His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word to us and that it shows in it a community of Jesus followers, kind of like us, getting to experience both the blessing of community but also the challenge and the struggle. So read that today, may we be encouraged. Encouraged to know the incredible potential of community. And challenged, Lord, to work toward it. To work through some of the hard things as well. So God, as we open Your Word today, I just pray that You would give us eyes to see the things in the text that we need to see. Just make them pop off the page to us. Lord, give us ears to hear the whispering of Your Holy Spirit to each one of us. Give us minds that can understand what it is that You're saying and hearts that are willing and humble and ready to respond to You. God, we just thank You for this time together and just pray that we would hear Your words here this morning and not mine. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, we are jumping a little bit today, three different passages in the book of Acts to see these sort of three snapshots, if you like, of good, bad, and ugly of church. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, as you may have guessed. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, which is the text coming right after that message of Peter preached, right after we hear about all these people coming to be part of the community of God because they confess their sins, they trust Jesus. And so this is what happens. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Not a great text. Isn't it an exciting text about what community looked like and can look like? Just phenomenal to think about how they gathered together daily for these kinds of things. How in the community they saw people's needs being met as they took care of one another. This is truly a picture of the good that can be a part of the community of Jesus. What a great picture. Seeing how people within the community totally benefited. See how much of a blessing this was to them? As they gathered for things like time in the Word, time around the Lord's table, breaking of bread together, praying together, caring for one another, taking care of those practical needs. They invested their lives in each other. They invested their lives in each other, and when they did that, they were blessed. Life was amazing. It was amazing and fulfilling in this community. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to do a wedding, which was a unique wedding. I have never done one like this before. The wedding was out at Pagera. And so we actually did the wedding in the back of a pickup truck at Pagera at the finish line, right? Right across from the grandstand. Now, I saw you guys had pictures from being at Hit to Pass last night, so we were there before you guys. And I got to say before you guys, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. It was a lot of fun. But anyways, so we were there, right? And I had the mic for the PA system and the people, you know, watching the wedding were all up in the grandstand. And I got to do this wedding. But one of the things that I always love to share with a couple is about how, you know, love and submitting to one another actually works, right? Because sometimes we feel, I think, in marriage and in life, like to get the things we want, we have to go after them and get them for ourselves. But that's not the way God designed it to be within community. See, he designed instead of us going and grabbing everything for ourselves, for us to go and take what we have to serve each other. And in marriage, when we do that, if both spouses will come together and choose, instead of grabbing from the other the things that they want, if they will choose to serve each other and submit to each other and put the other above themselves, they will in turn receive a blessing. Because how amazing is it when someone else gives you what you actually need rather than having to grab it for yourself? When someone just out of the love that they have for you just pours out exactly what you need and long for into your life without you having to grab it from them. It's a blessing for both of you. It's the way God designed love and marriage to work. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We're supposed to do this. Think of the other above ourselves. But it's not just in marriage. Even in that text, he says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. We're supposed to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. When you read the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, and I read it out at the wedding, but really it's not just for married couples, and it's not even written specifically to married couples in that particular instance. It's written to the church. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Keeps no record of wrongs. That stuff isn't just for married couples, folks. That's for us. It's for the community of God because we're supposed to put one another above each other. And when we do that, the incredible thing is we all benefit from it. When we stop grabbing for stuff and trying to take it for ourselves and instead seek to bless everyone else in the community, then we get to experience a blessing. And that's what they found in the early church. They experienced incredible benefit as everyone came together and cared for one another in that community. Life was amazing. And I wonder, again, how it is that we have experienced that kind of blessing within the community of God. Just get it in your mind, a time when you totally felt cared for and loved by the community of God. People who came around you, people who spoke into your life and cared for you. There is such potential for good in the community of God. Such potential for good. And we can experience the blessing and benefit of being part of this community. Now, this text that we just read, Acts 2, 42 to 47, is often held up as this is how church should be. And truly, that's a great thing that it's held up that way. And so many studies are done on that, and there's lots of books about it. People have preached on this, you know, tons of times. There's so much out there you could find in Acts 2, 42 to 47 about this is the model for how we should do church, in ways that they try and dissect it and say, well, these are the primary functions we should do as church. This is what church should be. And that's all great. Okay? Don't get me wrong. That's all great. The problem is when we stop here and say, this is what the early church was like. Really? It's a fairly narrow view of history. Because when you keep reading, you see that it wasn't all good. Okay? Yes, there was incredible blessing for the community of God, but it wasn't just this nice, easy thing where they all came together and sang kumbaya every week and it was all good. Didn't work that way. And as we keep reading on in the book of Acts, we see that life within the community was not always easy. So let's keep reading in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. It's kind of an important part of what we believe, right? So they were doing that. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Very early on in the life of the early church, they experienced some of the bad. Some of the external pressures that came in, the external challenges that were pushing at the church, trying to squeeze it or tear it apart, they experienced a lot of challenges from outside. Because not everyone appreciated what the church community was about. Not everyone appreciated what they were teaching and said, wow, that's amazing. I'll teach that for you. They're like, what are you thinking? Jesus raised from the dead. Everyone else being raised from the dead because of Jesus. Forget that. The religious leaders tried to shut them down, even arresting key leaders within the early church. And really, this is just the start, right? This is just the start of some of the external pressures they're going to face. Because as you get into Acts chapter 6, and we see Stephen being appointed as a leader in the church, and then he gets pulled on trial, and he gives this incredible, incredible sermon that basically recounts a lot of Jewish history as he's standing before these Jewish leaders. And then at the end of that, they say, stone him! Kill him! It's not fit to live. And from there, a persecution against the entire early church breaks out, and they're scattered across the countryside. External challenges began to push in. It's not easy to be the community of God because there's stuff from outside that will challenge us. It will try and rip us apart. Now, we could say, you know, that persecution against the church, well, that happened back in the days of the Bible, and you know, we're much more progressive than that now. Could say that. Wouldn't be true, but you could say it. Because in other parts of the world, there are parts where there's a very tangible persecution that still exists against the church. I have a childhood friend who is a missionary in the Middle East. And I don't even know what country he's actually in. Actually, I know what country he's in right now, but he's out of the country he's been serving in because it's no longer safe to be in that country. And so the mission organization has pulled him out into another country nearby. But in the country they were in, good friends of theirs who were serving as missionaries as well, the parents were both kidnapped several months ago and still have not been released, being held because of what they were teaching about Jesus. The kids are fine and shipped back home to other family, but the parents are still there in captivity. Who knows what they're going to do with them? On the news, there's accounts of people facing a death penalty for their faith. The external pressures on the Christian community are not something that happened 2,000 years ago. They're something that continue to happen today. And we see it in those kind of tangible ways in other parts of the world. But even here, Even here in Canada, or even here in Prince George, we feel some of these pressures. We feel some of the pressures as society starts to try and marginalize the Christian faith. It's okay to be spiritual. It's okay to be religious, as long as you're not trumpeting Christian faith. It's pretty sexy these days, actually, to be a Buddhist, right? Or a Hindu, or someone like that. That's okay. You know, in our society, that's pretty accepted. That's actually seen as pretty cool. You know, you're kind of experimenting in the Eastern spirituality thing. That's pretty neat. Christian, don't talk to me about that. Bible thumper. Right? Now, that's painting people with a pretty broad brush. That's a little unfair. But there are undercurrents of that within our society today. In fact, there's a little bit of news. I haven't read it in depth, so I'm not going to comment on it much. But one of our politicians recently for one of our major federal parties has come out against people with Christian values, even applying to be part of their party, right? Don't talk about your values here. In many ways, Christianity is being pushed to the margins of society. You can have a voice, just don't let it infect anything else. Don't let it speak into how we should do life together as a nation or as a country or as a province or as a city. Don't let it speak into those things. We don't want to hear that from you. So there are lots of pressures from outside that come in. And as we feel that push to the margins, as we feel that push out of what is acceptable in society, it can become hard to continue to stand as a follower of Jesus. As you see people constantly questioning and judging what you believe. There's other things in society that tend to pull us away too, other societal values, cultural things that, you know, we just start to hold up as being normal. Our cultural obsession with busyness and success. Our cultural obsession with our kids. There's things that'll pull us away from some of what's central in being the community of God. Putting our priorities and our values in other places. The bad of the community is that the community of God always faces these challenges from outside that threaten to tear apart the community that's being built in Christ. Now, the external challenges can be hard. And they can really create a lot of trouble in trying to build community together and experience the blessing of community together. But really, those pale in comparison to the stuff that we face internally. And that's the ugly. There's incredible good we can experience as community. The bad tears us apart from the outside, but the ugly is the stuff that tears us apart from within. To see a little bit of that, we're going to read from Acts chapter 5 about a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Sorry, I bumped it ahead there. There we go. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Now, this is just to give us a little context. This is in the days, again, remember, where they were selling their possessions to give to one another who had need, right? And so Ananias and Sapphira took their piece of property, sold it, and said they were bringing everything to the church. Okay? There you go. Context. So they sold this piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Well, 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. And they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. So Ananias and Sapphira have this piece of land. They sell it. They bring some of the money to the church, some of the money they kept for whatever. And they said, here's the whole amount of money that we got for the land. It's all here. They wanted to be seen by the community, probably as being these incredible, benevolent, generous people, giving it all for the Lord. Wow, they're like the incredible saints, right? Those ones who are like the total sacrificial givers. They're like the amazing super saint kind of people. Wow! Except it was all a lie. Everything looked nice. It was a big gift. But their hearts were not filled with integrity. They wanted to be seen a certain way in the community by others, but it was all a lie. And when stuff like this happens in the community, this is when things get ugly. We're not real with each other. And we try and put on a front so people will look at us a certain way, even though, man, that's not really who we are at all. When we try and manipulate others within the community or manipulate the community as a whole to achieve our own ends, instead of being there for those in the community and to bring glory to God. This is when community gets really ugly. There's many ways we can do this. There's many ways that we can tear down the community of God. There's many things that we can do that mess this up. And in fact, like I said, the rest of the New Testament books, which really most of them are letters after the book of Acts, they were letters written to churches. A lot of them by Paul. There's a few by Peter, some by John, one by James, someone who authored the book of the Hebrews. But there's all these different letters. Jude's in there too. And they all write to churches or groups of believers. And in so many of them, they confront issues that the church was dealing with internally. They confront challenges the church was having because of the ugly stuff that was going on within the church. Stuff like gossip. Good thing we don't deal with stuff like that anymore. We move beyond. And slander and criticism. People tearing one another down to justify themselves and make themselves look good. Envy. People wanting what others have instead of being content and thankful for what they have. People trying to grab more for themselves instead of using what they have to invest in the good of others. I challenge the church on unforgiveness and bitterness, holding on to grudges and offenses that someone had done against you, and choosing instead of forgiveness to continue to keep that little bit of bitterness around, almost like a nice cuddly safety blanket. Just holding on day after day, week after week, year after year, growing bitter in their heart. They confronted them about quarrels that were going on, fighting about stupid, unimportant things. Things that just didn't matter. And people were arguing about it all the time instead of actually thinking about building into the community, thinking about going out on mission for Christ, thinking about who Jesus is and being filled with him for what he longed to do in them. Just a few examples of the many things that the New Testament writers, as they wrote to churches all over the ancient Near East, all over what would be now like Turkey and Greece and Rome and down along where Israel is. So they wrote these letters to these churches. They confronted all sorts of stuff because there was all sorts of stuff going on. And behaviors like this absolutely destroy community. They tear apart the good things that Jesus is building within our community and make it into something ugly. As Jesus' followers, the thing is, we're called to live differently than this. Our community should not be defined by the kind of fights we have, but rather by our love for one another. It shouldn't be defined by the fact that since we're an Alliance Church, you know, we fight about these theological issues instead of those theological issues, right? It shouldn't be about that. We should be defined by how much we show our love and compassion for one another in community. That's how we should be known. But community, although it is incredibly good and provides incredible blessing and benefit, is also extremely hard. Because as soon as you get four people together, you have six opinions. Unless they're Baptist, and then you have 10 opinions. Sorry, I used to go to a Baptist church. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Actually, just on that note, just a digression for just a second, okay? Our language professor in seminary was a guy who came from some pretty, very traditional, I think probably, I'm going to say German kind of Protestant roots. Anyways, he would tell me about these times they would have prayer meetings in their church, right? And you'd have these old saints just going at it in their prayer meeting, right? But it wouldn't be those prayer meetings where, actually praying for whatever. They were praying like this. Dear Lord, please help Brother John see the error of his ways. That kind of thing, right? And it just, anyways, we'll just spiritualize our fights. But that's not what the church is supposed to look like. We're not supposed to just spiritualize our fights and make them look all sanctified. We're actually supposed to love each other. We're supposed to care for each other, work things through. Yeah, we can still have a good heated discussion, but at the end of the day, we embrace each other. We care for each other because that's bigger than the issue that we were arguing about. Community is both good and it's extremely hard because community is made up of people. But we have a responsibility in this as the community of God. And so here again, to you Christians, here's the hard part. In order to experience the good in community, we have to embrace the challenge of community. We need to surrender, I think, every day, maybe every hour. Honestly, some days I look at my days, probably every hour. We need to surrender ourselves afresh to Jesus Christ and ask again to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God for the empowerment that we need to actually live out the kind of life he wants us to live. We need his power to do it. We cannot do this on our own. If we're just trying to white-knuckle this and make a good community together, good luck. It's not going to happen. We actually need the filling, the presence of the Almighty Living God. It's the only way we're going to get this done. So it requires surrendering to Jesus regularly, continually. And it also requires surrendering to one another. We need to realize, each one of us needs to realize, community starts with me. Not me for all of you. No. All of us, it starts with me. You get that? I've realized that's kind of confusing. Each one of us can start to build community today. Every one of us has the ability to go out and start building the community of Jesus Christ. Because each one of us has the potential and power in us to go out and actually talk to someone to encourage them and to bless them. Yeah. Every one of us. If it's all on me to do it, it ain't going to happen. Because as much as I might try, I'm not going to talk to every one of you after church today. It's not going to happen. But if we all did it, it would happen for everybody. Everyone could receive a touch from someone else in community if everyone else actually made an effort to do it. If community started with every one of us, it would actually happen. Community starts with me. We all need to get that. It's not something done for me. It starts with me. It's not about getting what I want. It's about me choosing to serve you. Because when we gather together as church, we don't gather to get, but to serve. We come to a service to serve one another. And as we do that, we get to experience the blessing that comes from community. So today, as we celebrate someone who is an incredible community builder, as we take some time later on today to gather around a meal together just to celebrate the contributions that Dave has made, will you also choose to be someone who builds community rather than tears it down? I'm not accusing anyone here of anything today. I'm just saying it's real easy over time to default to being self-centered, focusing on me and wanting everything else to feed into my needs and my wants. But are we willing to set that aside and choose to serve others to build the community of Christ? Will you choose to serve one another today? I want to pray for us as a church that we would do that together. We would just love on each other and care for each other and bless each other, that the community of God in this place would be built up in such an incredible way that people would look at this and go, man, there is something incredible there. I want it. And they would come to find Christ. Let me pray for us together today. Jesus, we thank you that through your sacrifice, you invited us into the community that has always existed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, as we experience that community with you, may we experience it with one another. A community of unconditional love where we put one another before ourselves. May we live out that kind of community, Lord, controlling our tongue, not destroying one another with our words or our actions, but instead seeking to build up and encourage one another. May we take all the opportunities you provide us to be a blessing to those around us so that this community could truly be something the world would look at in awe. So God, we just pray your blessing on our church today. Lord, may we live as the church and experience fully the good that comes with being the community of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to take a little bit of time to respond.